James chapter 4. We're going to continue our summer preaching series on the seasons of life. 2 weeks ago, we preached on the childhood years, a season of growth, and then the teenage years, a season of preparation. We preached last Sunday. We're going to preach on the 20-something years, a season of responsibility, a season of responsibility. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible, James chapter 4 and verse number 13. James chapter 4, verse number 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, bless, please, dear Lord, this message. And Lord, help us, dear God, to take the principles, Lord. We are going to preach specifically in a way I hope that will be a help and a blessing to those that are in the decade of the 20s. But Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that all of us would glean from the principles that are shared, and also those of us that are older will be perhaps better prepared to help these young people and encourage them, dear Lord, that are going through this season of life. I thank you, Lord, for Father's Day. And Lord, I pray that your blessing upon each of our dads. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We are basing the series from our main verse, our series verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I want to continue on this series, even though it is Father's Day, and normally I would stop and I would preach specifically a Father's Day message, but as I was contemplating and praying about what the Lord would have me to do, I felt like God very much wanted me to focus and continue the series, and then the Holy Spirit did share this with me. He said, you know, it is in your 20s where most of us will be called daddy for the first time, and so I think that this sermon will be a help and a blessing to those of you that are in that wonderful, wonderful time of life. And you know what? It's funny because every time I've spent a week preparing and studying and praying over this decade, when I was preparing the message for the children, and I said, oh, what a wonderful time of life. That's a great time of life. And then for the next decade, you know, our 10 through 19 year olds, I thought, oh, that's a wonderful time. That's a great time of life. And now the 20 somethings, I'm saying, oh my goodness sakes, what a great time of life. And you know what? Every season can be great if we'll live it for the Lord. Every season can. I didn't say without challenge. I didn't say without heartache. I didn't say without disappointment. I said every season of life can be great if we just decide that we're going to put the Lord right in the middle of it and focus on Him. We're reminded in this portion of Scripture that life is a vapor that appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. And I read that very specifically because of where we're going today. But 20-somethings, let me say something to you, and I want you to know that your pastor recognizes this, and I think our church does. We are in a blessed state here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have a wonderful group of young couples in our church. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. If I fail, and I do, I'll just tell you, if there's an area that I just fail in, I know it's this, in taking the time to communicate how proud I am and how thankful I am for all of the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but especially our young couples, since we're focusing on them today. Thank you for just deciding that you're going to take these important years and be faithful to God, that you're going to start your family on the right foundation, and you're going to begin that time of life and all of the things, all the changes, listen, if there's ever a time of life where honestly people could say, preacher, you just have no idea, I'm so busy, and I get it, but you know what? Your presence here this morning honors the Lord, and it says that you have made a commitment to even in these busy foundational years, not forget the Lord. And that means more to me than you probably understand. Congratulations, and thank you for doing that for the Lord. Now, let me give you, every Sunday I've given you five things. I'm going to give you five again today, all right? 20-something years, a season of responsibility. What an important word. If you're not careful, you know what you hear in our culture? You hear a lot about rights. Rights. We want our rights. We want our rights. We want our rights. I never see a group of people go to the street holding up signs that says, we want our responsibilities. We're marching because we are here to fulfill our responsibilities. Let me tell you something, folks. There has never been anyone that is deserving of rights if they aren't also willing to step up and take on responsibility. And I think what we ought to do, what we ought to do in America is be more focused on what our responsibilities are than what our rights are. And I believe in the 20s, you have to stand up and step up in several areas because it is a season, it is a decade where you will assume some responsibilities. And so let me start this message by saying this. Number one, let me give you the five things. This will be the fastest and busiest decade of your life. This would be the fastest and busiest decade of your life. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, then vanisheth away. I may have some senior saints want to argue this, and by the way, I'm giving you my viewpoint, my experience. I'm not, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, the older you get, life gets faster. And to a certain extent, that's certainly true. But I will tell you this. I've lived now through several decades and nothing went as fast. No decade was more of a blur than in my 20s. I promise you, you're going to turn 20, 21, and you're going to blink a couple times and you will be celebrating your 29th birthday before you know it. And then on into your 30s, because I think it's so fast and so quick because, as we'll talk about in a minute, there's so many changes and so many beginnings and so much going on. You're busy, many of you pursuing, you know, further education, and that keeps you very busy. And then many people start their life together as husband and wife, and then children begin to come on the scene, and it just seems like everything is happening and fast forward, and you're trying to establish, you know, the foundations of a brand new home, and you're trying to pursue new careers and establish yourself in the workplace. And it just seems like so many things happen in such a short amount of time. I want to just go ahead and tell you this. If you're in your 20s, it's the fastest and busiest decade of your life. And because of that, watch this. It's very important that you live on purpose. You live on purpose during these years. Purpose to live on purpose. What do you mean, preacher? I'm going to challenge all of you 20-somethings to do something. And many of you already have, and I think it's great. I believe that you ought to set up some short-term and long-term goals for what you're going to accomplish in your 20s. Because I promise you, life will take over. And if you don't live on purpose, a decade will go by and you will not have accomplished many of the things that you set out to do. Now, you're going to have to learn to live on schedule. Because it's one thing to set a goal, it's another thing to achieve a goal. And if you're going to set the goals, then you begin to put the disciplines in your life and live on schedule so you can achieve those goals. I believe there ought to be goals in every area of your life. There ought to be some goals for you as far as the care of your body. I think there ought to be some goals for you as far as finances. I think there ought to be some goals for you as far as in your spiritual life and where you want to go and what you want to accomplish. There was a little boy, and he was in the backyard at night, and he had a BB gun, and he's shooting at the moon. And some man walked by and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. He said, you're never going to hit the moon with that BB gun. And he said, I'm coming a lot closer to it than you are. And you know what, folks? You may laugh and scoff at people that set goals, but I'm going to tell you what, they'll come a lot closer to accomplishing things than somebody that just gets up and lives with the happenstance of life and lets circumstances take. Listen, we ought to live on purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says something to Timothy that I want you to listen to. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and here's the third word, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Can I say this? We stand back and wonder at what the Apostle Paul accomplished in his life. through the help of the Lord. But I can tell you this, he did it on purpose. On purpose. And so this decade is going to go by very quickly. My challenge to you is set some short-term goals, set some long-term goals. By the time I hit 30, with God's help, I'm going to accomplish these different things in these different areas of my life, and then build a schedule into your life that will allow you to be able to accomplish the things that God has challenged you to accomplish. Live on purpose. Number two, you will make many of the most important decisions of your life in your 20s. You will make many of the most important decisions of your life in your 20s. Now, let me just say this. That means that prayer needs to be paramount. It's not a decade to stop praying. It's not a decade to wander away from the throne of grace. You're going to need God in this. You're going to need God's wisdom in this. You will make some of the most paramount decisions of your entire life in your 20s. Most people in their 20s settle in during that decade at some point on the career path of their lives. Most people make what I call the second most important decision of their life, and that's who they're going to marry. Most of them make that in their 20s. Most of them, you're going to lay the foundation, make foundational decisions that, listen, you will either lay a platform that allows you to be very successful in the next decade of your life, or cause you to lose your 30s. Watch this, lose your 30s trying to fix foolish decisions you made in your 20s. You're going to make very important, watch this, young people, financial decisions in your 20s. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but you know what? I know what comes in my mailbox, and everybody's willing to give you a credit card. All right, and if you're not careful, you know what? You can bury yourself in your 20s, and you'll spend your 30s trying to get out of that hole. What I'm saying is this. Wouldn't you that are older, all of us that are older, and we all have made our mistakes, we haven't done it right, but how many of you older folks would love to sit down with someone that's 21 and say, please make wise financial decisions in your 20s, okay? And so you're going to make some of the most important decisions of your life. So pray about everything. Let me encourage you, get good and godly counsel about every major decision that you're going to make in your 20s. Now, all of you look up here, and I'm going to help you with something. And hear me or don't hear me, but you know what? I'm going to help you if you'll let me. Watch this. If you're not careful, you've gone through your childhood years, and you know what? You were shepherded, you were guided, you were parented there, and you know what? You pretty much were told what you needed to do during your teenage years. Even though during that time, that decade, maybe your parents allowed you more freedom to make your decisions in some areas of your life, still, they maintain veto power, and by the way, they should maintain veto power in your life about the decisions that you make. And if you're not, watch this, young person, if you're not careful, you're going to hit this third decade of your life, and you're going to say, finally, I'm an adult. And you know what? Finally, I get to make my own decisions. And finally, I get to do what I've always wanted to do. And finally, I don't have to listen to anybody else. And by the way, listen to me. That's the statements of a fool. That's the statements of a fool. Can I say this? You're right. You don't have to. But the wise young person will still choose to. There probably is not a more important decade for you to get good and godly counsel. Why? Because if you're going to make the most important decisions of your life, or many of the most important decisions of your life, that is not the time to rely on your 21 years of life experience. All right? It's time to access the wisdom of mom, access the wisdom of a father. Go sit down at the feet of a grandma and a grandpa, you know what, that has forgotten more about life than you know about life. And sit, listen, it's time to get good and godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, watch this, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Oh, young people, I'm not saying that you're not capable of making wise decisions, but please, would you at least bounce off those decisions so that you maintain a safety net underneath you so that you won't fall? Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. God save us from young people that just will not listen to anybody. They're going to do it their way. You know, they're going to be Frank Sinatra at the end of their life. I did it my way. Well, Frank Sinatra is burning in a devil's hell right now without Jesus Christ as his Savior. You can go ahead and sing that song all through your life, but what I'm saying is what you ought to do is get godly counsel. Are you listening to me? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Without counsel, Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Remember I said that about setting short-term and long-term goals? All right, did you listen to that part of it? Now, if you're going to set the short-term and long-term goals, and then you're going to live on schedule to try to accomplish those goals, let me just give you an added piece of advice. Why don't you talk to somebody who's always already accomplished all those goals? Okay, already accomplished all those goals. So I want you to have goals. I want you to be goal-driven. I want you to say, you know what does God want me to accomplish in this decade? But once you set those goals, go to people who have already accomplished those goals and did it well, and then sit at their feet and listen to their counsel. Listen, watch this. The final decision's still going to be yours. And it ought to be. I always say this, man, it ought to be. If you're going to either reap the reward or suffer, you know, the punishment or the judgment for bad decisions, then you ought to be the one that gets a right to make it. But I want to quickly add this. Be sure that you access godly counsel. Because there's people that's done it right and there's people that's done it wrong. And you ought to sit at the feet of people that have accomplished the things that you've wanted to accomplish in the time frame of your life and listen to how they did it. Proverbs 20:18, every purpose is established by counsel and with good advice make war. So number one, this will be the fastest and busiest decade of your life. Number two, you'll make many of the most important decisions of your life. Number three, this is the decade where you will say yes or no to God's perfect will for your life. This is the decade where you will say yes or no to God's perfect will for your life. Say, preacher, where do you find that? Numbers chapter 14. Let's go back there. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I want to show you a very interesting story. And it's interesting that as we look for this 20-something in the Bible, 20 years of age in the Bible, the stories that come to surface in the scriptures. Let me lay the groundwork here. God has brought the children of Israel through the wilderness. They have come now to an opportunity to cross over the Jordan River. And they decided that they were not going to do what God asked them to do. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Right, bus kids? And you know what? 10 of them came back and said, we can't do it. And 2 of them said, Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. And you know what? They chose not to. And as part of God's, by the way, was crossing the Jordan into Canaan land God's perfect will for the children of Israel? Yes, it was. Now, who did he hold responsible when they decided not to go? If you look in verse number 26 of Numbers chapter number 14, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying to me, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Watch this. This may seem harsh, but you young people better listen. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from what age? 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you to make you dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. Now watch this and look right up here. Okay, stay with me, folks. You know what? He held to account a group of people. When all of Israel chose not to go in, he held to account a certain group. He drew a line. He drew a numerical line age-wise. And he said, all of you 20 years old and upward that are saying, I will not go into Canaan land, you will never have the opportunity to go into Canaan land. I will march you back in the wilderness. And you, listen, you know what? There was a lot of graves in the wilderness. And every single person that day that was 20 and older that said, I will not go in, 40 years later, they did not come back to Jordan the second time. They were buried. They spent their life wandering in the wilderness. Better listen to me. Sometimes I feel like John the Baptist, like a voice in the wilderness. All right, but you better listen to me. Wandering in the wilderness, never enjoying what they could have had in Canaan land, never enjoying the victories that God had, never enjoying that land that flowed with milk and honey, thousands and hundreds of thousands of graves in the sand, never fulfilling the purpose of God. There's nothing more grievous in my heart to watch young people that are grown up and trained and ready to serve the Lord and get into their 20s and decide, no, I'm not going to do the will of God. And they go wandering off. And many of them will never, ever, ever have another chance to fulfill, watch this, God's perfect will for their life. Say, preacher, have I just blown it forever? No, there's a permissible will. There's an acceptable will. And you know what? Thank God we're the God of the second chance. But also, listen to me. We've preached so much on the second chance God that I'm afraid we've put it in the minds and hearts of our young people that, oh, I'll just go out and blow it because God's a second chance God. You listen to me. The second chance is never as good as the first chance. You're listening to a lot of adults that are telling you, young people, you better hear what he... Second chance is never as good. You're never going to enjoy all that you could have in the first chance. But I also quickly say this. God's second chance is still better than the devil's first chance. Amen. And if you know, if you're in that place of life, you say, preacher, I wish I had a rewind button on life and I can't. I wish I could. Hey, let me just tell you something. You come back to the Lord no matter what age you are and you pick up, and I promise... Still, God's permissible will is 100 times better than living your life out in the control of the devil and causing more heartache and grief. But what I'm saying, watch this, adults, forgive me, but I need to preach to my 20-somethings right now. I'm not preaching this to make you feel bad. I'm preaching this to keep them from having to sit in a church 20 years from now and feel bad about this, all right? So just let me love on them. Let me help them a minute. Young people, listen to me. You need to stay in the will of God. Okay, now you're 20-something and older. God's going to hold you to account. That's who he held to account. All right, I'm not saying, young people, teenagers, you have a right to do wrong. I'm just saying from 20 years old and upward, the price really gets a lot higher. You can't hide behind mom, can't hide behind dad anymore. You make the decisions, you're going to reap the consequences, whether they're good or bad. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Why don't we believe that? But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so what I'm saying is this, young people, listen to me, in your 20-somethings, you're going to make, as I've already said, some of the most important decisions of your life. Don't do it absent of God. Don't do it without good and godly counsel. And by the way, when God reveals to you the perfect will for your life, then you run to that perfect will. Don't get this in your head, well, I'll go out and sow my wild oats for a decade and I'll come back and pick up where I left off. No, you, listen to me, no, you will not. That's a lie of the devil. You do right now. Do right now. This is the decade to stay in church. This is the decade to stay in the Bible. This is the decade to stay on your knees. This is the decade to be tender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life and not to grieve him and not to quench him in your life. Listen, say yes, yes to God's perfect will for your life. Number four, watch this. This is the decade that you are expected to take on the financial responsibility of supporting your local assembly. This is the decade that you are expected to take on the financial responsibility of supporting your local assembly. Go, if you will, to Exodus chapter 30. Say, preacher, you must have a verse for that. Oh, I've got a verse for that. I've got several verses for that. Exodus chapter 30, if you will. Exodus chapter 30. Now, young men, I want you to listen to me. All right, I seen Brother Bud yesterday, and he showed up at the picnic, and he'd been out on his route all day. And he's been out delivering mail all day. And I was walking out of the fellowship hall. Brother Bud, did you have a good day? And he said, yes, I did. He says, my last Saturday on his mail route. And he's getting ready to retire. Well, he should. He's like 107. And but he's getting ready to retire. Now, he married a woman that's in her 30s, but I'm not one to criticize. I don't want to start scandals or rumors in the church, but... Anyway, but I'm thrilled for him. We're going to talk about that season of life. We're going to get to that eventually. But let me say this, folks. Young men, I want you to understand, so I want you to listen to me. Watch this. You know what? There's been men that have worked jobs and they've bared the burden of it for many years, and they've undergirded the church here financially so that we can keep the doors open, pay the electric bill, and put gas in buses and send missionaries to the mission field and win children to Christ. And you know what you see? You see an older generation of men that are retiring. And by the way, they're not going to make as much in retirement as they did when they were working a full-time job. Now, young men, as those men begin to phase out, there has to be in every generation young men turning into their 20s that says, you know what? It's time for me to step up now and support my local assembly. They did it for me for all these years so that I could enjoy what I had. Now it's time for me to do it for the next generation also, to take a burden off of that aged generation. Preacher, where do you get this? Exodus chapter 30, verse number 11. Listen very carefully to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. This they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and half shekel shall be the offering of the Lord, everyone that passeth by among them that are numbered from, there it is again, 20 years old and above shall give an offering. Watch this, the rich shall not give more and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now watch this, folks. Everybody in the congregation was expected, according to the Bible, to bring their tithes. Everybody was. Everybody was instructed, according to the scriptures, to bring their offering. But when there was a special need and to undergird and pay for the operation of the tabernacle, you know what? Once a year, every man 20 years and older showed up with a half shekel and said, you know what? We won't have to worry this year about the operation and the operational expense of the tabernacle, because we're going to follow the law of God and we're going to show up and we're going to contribute to it. And you know what? You didn't get to give the excuse, well, I'm too poor to. Is that what the Bible just said? You don't get to give an excuse. Well, that's for people that have extra, that know. You know what? That was an obligation that they had. You know, I think about this. Can you imagine the children of Israel, a young man, he's working, and they were working from 12 years on and older. They were apprenticing under some master craftsman. And they were working all those years, and they watched the men, 20 years old, come once a year and bring this half shekel of silver, and they watched them give it, and they watched the great celebration, and they watched the men come back with a sense of pride and fulfillment, because they were stepping up and they were providing things that was going to benefit the entire congregation spiritually. And this boy gets to be 18 and 19 and 20, and by then he's full-fledged. And he's working, and he's got a trade, and he's got a craft. And by the way, we need to get back to this. We need to get back to this. I know this is a whole other message, but I'm telling you, folks, we need to get back to it. I've talked to craftsmen in our area. I know who they are. I've talked to craftsmen in this area. I'm talking men that have a trade. I'm talking about men that make good marrying money, okay? I told you there's a difference between making money and making marrying money, okay? That woman's going to cost you more, okay? I'm just telling you, all right? And them kids that come along, they're going to cost you more, all right? So McDonald's is fine, I guess, if you're just 16, but you're getting better to make some marrying money at some point. But watch this, folks, watch this. You know what? The Jewish people believe this. To raise a young man without a trade was to raise a thief. To raise a young man without a trade was to raise a thief. And you run, come on, 20-somethings, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here. I walk to you at 20, 21, 22, 23. You have no marketable skill. No marketable skill. Okay, I've been remodeling my house. I've had a couple guys come in and do some work for me. I'm talking about craftsmen, tradesmen. And you know what every one of them said? I got more work than I can keep up with. I cannot, preacher, I'm sorry it took me 2 weeks to get here. I'm buried. I say, why are you buried? I can't find any young men to work. I can't find any young men to work. One guy's into heating, cooling, air conditioning. I just brought him out. He didn't do anything for me, but he was working up an estimate because at some point we're going to make some changes in the house there. And I just wanted to see in advance what I'd have to do. And so all he did was come and talk to me and do some figures. And he said, preacher, he said, I've been working heating and cooling, air conditioning trade for years and made good money and made a good living. He said, I have begged young men to come in. You don't even have to have more than a high school education. But you got to have a work ethic. You got to show up every day. Hey, by the way, you're going to be crawling under some houses. You might even get dirty. I know. You might have to crawl through a cobweb. Oh. You might have to get up in the attic and watch this. This is even more tragic. Be hot. I know. Okay. But what I'm saying is this, the average guy, he says, that I think is going to show up, and he said, listen, for 5 years, they're not going to make gigantic money. But you know what, young people, there's something called earning your way up. 20-somethings, listen to me. Too many of you want to live at the same level that it took your grandparents an entire lifetime to get to, but you want it all now. Come on now. That's why some of you are in debt up to your eyeballs, because you're going to have it now, whether you deserve it now or not. But he just told me, he said, yeah, for 5 years, he said, I'm not going to even be able to pay him a ton. But at the end of 4 or 5 years, he said, if they just got some common sense and they're trainable, he said, you know what? They can work a trade the rest of their life and make good money. And he says, I cannot find them. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't know what we're going to do in America. You know, me and David was talking about this. What are we going to do in 20 years if we need an air conditioning guy? Because all the old guys that are left doing it are just about all dead. You got a generation. You know, if you can't sit in a suit and tie, or you can't sit on a couch and push buttons, or can't sit and play on a computer, and, you know, in an air conditioning and never sweat, you know, then you won't work a job. Come on now. There's good money to be made out there, but it requires work. Christ, Lord. Say, preacher, I need a job like that. Listen, don't come to me and ask me to recommend you. If you've got a pattern of life of everything that you've started, you've quit. Because then it's my name that's on the line. But you know what? If everything you've ever started in life, you've quit, maybe it's time, watch this. And I'm not trying to beat you up. I am giving you good advice as a friend. It's time to go out there and tough it out. The world doesn't owe you anything. Okay, society doesn't have a responsibility and shouldn't be carrying you. You should be a contributor to society, not a taker from society. Come on now. What I'm saying is it's time to man up and stand up and support your family and do right and do the job and get it done and stick with something. And you know what? You'll be able to come home every night, yep, a little dirty, and maybe with a few cobwebs and some sweat, but you'll be able to come home and look at the mirror in the mirror at a man. All right. God help us. Boy, we need this sermon preached all over America. We are in so much trouble in this country. Now, young men, let me just say this. In your 20-something, it's time to rise up to the occasion. Go out there and work. And you know what? Become that undergirding of the local assembly then. Where you walk in and say, preacher, you know what? If you have a need and the church needs something, I can walk in because I'm willing to work. And I've trained myself to work in such a way. And I've got a little training. And I've got some schooling. Or I've got an apprenticeship. And you know what? Somewhere in my 20s, I'm going to start making some meaningful money. And preacher, we can keep those missionaries on the field in the next several decades, even though we've got older folks that are retiring out. And we can keep the gas in the buses. And if we need a new bus, we can have a men's meeting. And you know what? Walk out of that meeting with the money we need to buy the new bus. Are you listening to me? That's not going to happen. The future of the local assembly is at stake because of a lazy generation that wants to live at home and have mom and dad take care of everything for them. What are you going to do when mom? Yeah, I drove into Linton and they've had this billboard on the left-hand side for some time now, before you get to Dairy Queen, that says your in-laws are not a retirement plan? I laugh so hard I almost wrecked the car every time I see that. Okay, mom and dad isn't your retirement plan. Grandma and grandpa isn't your retirement plan. Your in-laws aren't your retirement plan. I mean, good night. What I'm saying is this. Come on, folks, good night. What we as young people ought to be doing when our folks get that old is being able to take care of them, not still looking at them to take care of us. Say, preacher, you're going on about this. I know, but it just makes me feel good. It just does. I just need to get this out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're not only supporting your church by coming in and undergirding it in your 20s, young people, watch this, financially, but it's time to come into your church and undergird it with the support of your strength and your youth and your work ethic, and step up into positions and step into areas of trust and be able to say, preacher, I can take that bus route, or I can take that Sunday school class, or I can listen. Again, we have an aged group that wishes they had the strength to still do what they've always done. I remember Sister Betty, I asked Brother Bob Townsley about how Sister Betty's doing, and he just shook his head knowing Sister Betty's not doing well. She's just not doing well, folks. She's so weak. And I remember the day she came to me, and she taught a Sunday school class here forever. And she came to me and tears running down her face. And she said, Pastor, I've spent some time teaching, holding on to the pulpit. And she said, preacher, I just can't stand. I just can't do it anymore. And you know what? She wept. I promise you, if you go talk to Sister Townsley this morning, she said, oh, I wish I had the strength of youth to go back into Blessed Hope and say, preacher, I'll take a Sunday school. She did it for decades. Well, guess what, folks? They can't keep doing it. And look at me, 20-somethings. I can't give you 10 or 15 or 20 years to decide you're going to grow up and start being mature. We need you now. Your local assembly needs you now. Let me show you one last thing and we'll be done. This is the decade that you go to war. That you go to war. Look at Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 1. This is Numbers chapter 1. Boy, turning 20-something, didn't you? Isn't this something when we get into the Bible? Boy, there's a lot of responsibility. Here it comes. There's a lot of responsibility. Number one, this will be the fastest, busiest decade of your life. Number two, you'll make many of the most important decisions of your life. Number three, this is the decade you'll say yes or no to God's perfect will. Say yes! Number four, this is the decade this is the decade that you're expected to take on the financial responsibilities of supporting your local assembly. Number five, this is the decade you go to war. Numbers chapter 1, are you there? Look at verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, here it is, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron shall number them by armies. I won't have you go there, but Numbers 26 says the same things. Take the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel from 20 years old and upward throughout their father's house, all that are able to go to war in Israel. Now, young men, young ladies, listen to me. There's a battle going on right now. There's a battle going on right now. And you know what? If you haven't looked around, if you're not noticing, there is a spiritual battle. There is a battle for the future of the United States of America. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. 20 years of age isn't time to go AWOL. It isn't time to go AWOL. The honest truth is, I could and should be able to fill the platform with an entire group of 20-year-olds, the group here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that ought to be plugged in right here serving God with all their heart, but some of them are AWOL! They're AWOL. They're missing in action. They've left the front lines. Matter of fact, sadly, some of them have even joined the enemy and are working hard to defeat the Church of Jesus Christ than they are to help the Church of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, folks. We need you young people to grow up and keep your lives right and proper in your teenage years. We need you to be smart when you're making these important decisions. And we need you to stand up for the Lord and get into the battle. Because I'll tell you what, there's a battle going on for the souls of men and for the future direction of what was founded as a Christian nation. And we need to be willing to fight. Hey, you 20-somethings right now, I'm telling you right now, you've got more battlefronts. We've got more battlefronts in your time of life as you're hitting 20 than we had when I hit 20. But we had ours too. But I'm going to tell you, the enemies are coming on every side. And you know what we need? We just need young people to say, preacher, you know what? I went through my childhood years, and they were years of growth. And I went through my teenage years, and they were years of preparation. And preacher, now in my 20s, I'm willing to take on some responsibility. Little David wasn't 20 yet. And his dad said, hey, I've got some things I want you to deliver to the front line for your brothers that are in their 20s, that are serving in Saul's army. And David couldn't wait. And he showed up. And as he was there greeting Saul, and as he was there doing what his father had asked him to do, Goliath came down from the other hillside, down into the valley, and began to curse and blaspheme God. And David, although he was not of age to go to war, looked at those who were of age and watched them cower and hide from a giant. And this young man that was probably 17, 18, 19 years of age, all we know for sure is he wasn't 20, asked a question. He looked around as he watched everybody cower. He looked around as he asked, Goliath was daring them, just send me somebody. And he's looking around waiting for somebody's hand to go up. And finally he said, is there not a cause? And you know what, young men, young ladies in your 20s, you need to find a cause that's bigger than yourself. You need to realize that there's giants still coming down from the hillside and they're standing and blaspheming God. And what we need is some young Davids that'll trust God. Man, preacher, I don't have a lot of experience. I know all he had was slinging five stones, but he had God's hand upon him and the courage of God and the power of God upon his life. And he marched down into that valley and he faced that giant. And he slung that stone and he stood on the back of that body of a giant and took that giant sword and cut his head off and held it up in the air. And Israel charged and the Philistines melted and victory was won. Why? Because somebody in their youth said it's time to be a soldier. It's time to be a soldier. I want you 20-somethings to say, you know what? I'm tired of God's side losing. I'm tired of everybody retreating. I'm tired of so many people waving a white flag. Good night. My whole life's ahead of me. And I want an America that I can be proud of and raise my kids. And I'm willing to fight for that kind of America. So stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've looked at this very unique and wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time of life, I pray, Lord, that you'll challenge our 20-somethings in these areas where God has given direction and exhortation and challenge. Lord, be with these young people. They are literally in a whirlwind of life. And dear God, there's so many things. Bless their hearts. There's so many challenges. There's so many new things. There's so many firsts. And honestly, Lord, there's so many snares and pitfalls. And I pray, dear God, that you'd protect our young couples and our young adults, Lord. Watch over them. Keep their hearts pure and clean before you. Keep their lives pure and clean. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that you'd protect them and help them, Lord, to focus this decade, the energy and zeal of their life to things that they can look back at in their 30s and 40s and 50s and say, you know what? Yeah, preacher was right. Busiest, fastest decade of my life. But you know what? I fought the wars. I took on the challenge. I supported my assembly. I took on the responsibilities. I made godly decisions. Lord, I pray that you'd help them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.